See if I can turn the mic on. Oh yeah, that's far better. Like it sounds loud, but not loud enough. I want it louder. Oh goodness. Well, it is definitely the week of Christmas. Probably can't tell by me standing in the sun and sweating, but it gets hot up there in that sunshine. Whew! It's great to be here. I know, ironically or unironically, we've been moving through Luke, and at least for my money, the most famous Christmas passage is Luke 2, which we preached on just a few weeks ago. But we're going to do it again because it's a great passage, and maybe it'll refresh your memory a little bit. But we'll talk about it maybe in a different way, in a larger scale. If for some reason you're hearing this message and you're like, hey, I'm just going to tune into this church. It's Christmas. Let's check it out. And you're curious about Luke and all of our messages are online. You can listen to all this. Next week will be kind of continuing our regularly scheduled sermon series. But today we're gonna take a trip back to a few weeks ago and talk about Luke 2 again, the iconic Christmas story. If you've got your Bibles, feel free to read along. If not, it'll be up here on the screen. And join me. Luke 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, obviously a very famous passage, probably not a soul in this room, or maybe this city or nation or world for all we know that has not heard that in some form or another. And as we read this today, Lord, and we think about this today, and we see Mary's reaction to the birth of her son and her Savior, and that she was treasuring these things up in her heart, Lord, I pray that we find ourselves in one of those two places. We're either excited, telling everybody that we see, or perhaps we're treasuring these things up in our heart, thinking about these, pondering them, letting you develop in us a new version of ourselves and the cleansing of the old and the changing of the things that we've been studying as we move through Luke and the teachings of Jesus. We see that Jesus' ability to save us has everything to do with eternity, but also here and now. There's things that can be made better today. Perspectives can shift. Priorities can shift, Lord. It can be made better for us and those around us. And I'm so thankful for a change in our lives due to the work of your son all those many years ago. So in your son's name I pray. Amen. Christmas time is here. So we're going to scoot back a few chapters today, and I would argue that this is probably the most recognized scripture in the Bible. I know there's a lot, John 3:16. There's a lot that people cite. But this one, you know, has been on TV since before I was a kid, with Linus reading the KJV version, and it has been, I mean, long before I cared about church or going to church or whatever else, I certainly remember seeing this bit and hearing Linus explain to those kids in that setting what Christmas was all about. And if you never heard it, I encourage you to check it out. But let's dive into this and go over it one more time. So it's a government-mandated homecoming. Things were strange, but not so strange, maybe. The governor says, everyone's going back to where you're from, and you got to sign up. We're doing basically a giant census. So Joseph packs up his pregnant virgin fiance, I know, and heads to Bethlehem. I'm sure the explanations are really great. Oh, how are you married? Well, no. Ooh, well. And also, you know, ideally you'd be marrying a virgin. Well, I am. But listen, there's a baby. I get it. Anyway, it is what it is. So they head back to Bethlehem. She in Bethlehem goes into labor and gives birth to a son. And as there's no place for them, they hold up in a barn. Right now, we see things like it wasn't an inn, and you're going to hear lots of, there's great debate about this. I'm not throwing this under the bus. They don't have hotels? Is there a Marriott and it was full? Probably not. The inn was probably a family's room. Everybody had their own inn. It doesn't really matter. The sum total is they arrived, and there's no place for you to be inside where normal people would live. We just can't put you up. Our friends are full up because of this census. Everyone's coming home, so we got no place to be. So she's pregnant, she's in labor. It could have been, well, let's move Ziyam, we're going to go over here, but there's no time. So they say, here, you can just sleep down in the barn tonight. And you're like, well, it's okay. It's probably covered. It's not perfect. The animals are down here, but we'll put them away and make it as nice as we can. But suffice to say, this is not the ideal place to have a baby. I've slept in some pretty dark places, but when it comes time to give birth, let's find a proper place, not just like, well, any old pile of hay will do. This is what it is. So that's where they find themselves. In the meantime, where's the shepherds? Well, they're in their field shepherding. Of course they are. It's night. It's late of an evening. I've told many tales about shepherds. I think the research of shepherds are interesting. In today's world, we don't have people that are like, oh, well, he's a, I mean, we could argue maybe lawyers do this a little bit, right? But like, oh, what are you, an auto mechanic? Well, we know what that means. Liar. Like, no, we don't do that. Oh, I work with computers. Oh, you know what that means. Misogynist. We don't have these kinds of things. But a job like a shepherd was a pretty low position. They worked late hours, as obvious here. It's nighttime, things are happening, and we've got shepherds at watch by night watching these sheep so no one steals them or they don't get attacked. This isn't going to be a job that you're going to give to somebody who is, you know, a physician or a genius. It's probably somebody that's a little, and because of this, these folks tended to be drunks, ne'er-do-wells, and things like that, because it was an easy job to do, because you could sleep it off during the day and this, that, and the other. So shepherds at this time couldn't even testify in court. They were just deemed so untrustworthy that that was that. And lo and behold, they're out doing their thing, and an angel appears along with some of God's glory, and they are scared. HSV, if you've never seen this, is the Hecox Standard Version. Settle down, I've got great news for the whole world. And the angel describes what is happening and why it's a big deal. Now, this is interesting. If you think about this in context, the reason I'm talking about these shepherds is if you really wanted the world to be convinced that what is happening is real, you would not tell the shepherds. If what you want to do is ply the world's capacity, you're going to go talk to somebody who is trusted in the world. You're going to talk to somebody who is beyond reproach, that when they say it, everyone else says, if he says it, it must be true. Somebody like perhaps the high priest or the king. That's somebody you're going to talk to, because when the king says, there's a baby in Bethlehem, people are going to say, there must be. We believe the king. And then when he goes and it's there, it's even better for the king because it looks like he's trustworthy. But what do we see here? The angels appear to shepherds. And to the shepherds' credit, the angels describe what is happening and why it's a huge deal. They lay it out. To be born this day, and it'll be a sign for you, you'll find a baby wrapped in a swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. And then I said, don't be afraid. This reminds me like when someone's crying, you know, like, stop crying. And you're angry with them. Like, that probably isn't going to help. So these guys are afraid. Fear not. And then a multitude of angels appears. If you ever go up and get a chance, Google something that says, like, biblically accurate angel. We have these pictures of angels that kind of look like big, strong men with wings. But if you look at what the Bible says about angels, it's very off-putting. So we don't really know what they saw here, but clearly they were terrified by it. And now if you see one of these angels, whatever that looked like, and however you're struck by that, now the sky is filled with them, and they are all praising God, singing, shouting, who knows what's going on. And if they were scared before, I can't imagine how this went. But they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And then they disappear. Shepherds' reaction, to their credit, let's go. They leave their sheep to fend for themselves. It's important to me that they don't say, I'm curious if this is real. Let's go see. They go to see what they believe has happened. Let us go see this thing that has happened. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. It may be a subtle difference, but it is a big difference between, I don't know about that. That sounds crazy. Let's go see if it's true. Versus, I want to witness this thing that is true. They want to witness this moment. They want to be a part of something that the Lord has made known to them, that they believe to be true, that they believe to be extraordinary. This is a gift for all people. How can this be? What does this mean? Why would the angels appear to tell us this? What is going on? So to the barn. They hustle to the barn and they're looking for a newborn. You remember, that's exactly what they said. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Okay. And sure enough, they find Mary, Joseph, and the baby just as foretold. The shepherds share with Mary and Joseph what happened. You're not going to believe these angels appeared. It was nuts. We were scared to death. They said, don't be afraid. Not fat chance. Then even more of them appear. We were really terrified. This guy peed his pants. That's not true. I can imagine all this happened. But here we are. It's true. You're here, this baby, just exactly what they said, exactly what they told us. And they're telling other people. They're going gangbusters. This is real. Why is it a big deal? I don't know. But it said, here's what they said. I bring you good news of great joy will be for all the people. Apparently this baby is good news of great joy, but who knows? We don't have any other words that were spoken to them by the angels. Maybe they got a little bit of explanation. But here in this context, this is what we got. Go, it's good news. There'll be a baby there. That's the sign. Go check it out. Shepherds say, we go. Here's the baby. I can't believe this. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Oh, the treasury of Mary's heart. But Mary treasured up all these things. This isn't the first time we've seen her do this. This happens a couple times. Mary's really good about seeing these big moments and taking time to let it sink in. There's a saying that I've heard in prison ministry that I really like is, react is what you get and response is what you want. I like to think that instead of reacting to these things very viscerally, she chooses to respond after a time. They tell her these things, and Mary knows some stuff. Joseph knows some stuff, right? We know the angel spoke to them, and they were disclosed to some degree how big of a deal this was. Not every detail of Christ's life is known to them. Not every little bit of minutia that maybe shepherds were come. But when these things happen, for her, where the treasury of her heart goes is reinforcing yet again what a spectacular thing this is and how blessed she is to be among it, just as the angel told her. Blessed will be you. You are going to be part of something that is way bigger than you and has nothing to do with you, but you've been chosen. God has chosen to use you. No wonder. She does know a great deal about what has happened and what's to come. The angel told her some things about Christ's life, not everything. There's a famous song called Mary, Did You Know? It's beautiful. But you can actually break that song down. There's a guy out there that has a list of yes, yes, no, 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 yes, 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 no, no, no. Because some of the questions that are asked, she's told. But some she wouldn't have known about. Some things she would have been exposed to as Christ lived. So she doesn't know everything. She's not God. She's not omnipotent here. She's not in any ways holy other than the fact that she's carried Jesus and done what she was asked to do. So she chooses to ponder these things in her heart. And with this, after this moment, the shepherds head back to work. But they're not the same. I like the way it says some of this. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So they're just jabbering and yammering, and those people that don't trust shepherds are like, oh, those kooks. Who knows what they saw in the field, right? I'll bet they saw something in the field. You know, but who knows? But some people realize it doesn't make any sense. If they were just drunk or partying, if this was a scheme, how would they know the baby was there? How would they know that? Glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as had been told them. Not the same as they were before they headed in. And 8 days later, we see the child was circumcised per the Jewish laws, and they name him Jesus, just as Mary was told. And thus ends the birth of Christ in Luke 2. Points to ponder. I titled this sermon, Thankful. And thankfulness isn't one that we talk about a lot at Christmas, because we just usually are on the heels of Thanksgiving, and we just talked a lot about being thankful, and now it's Christmas. So it's a little bit more of a focus on, you know, the glory and the warmth of family and friends and so on and so forth. So I'm going to focus on being thankful for this manner in which Christ came. Be thankful for prophecies fulfilled. Be thankful for unconditional good news. Be thankful for a God that takes care of everything. And be thankful for a Savior that is unmatched. Let's dive in. Thankful for prophecies fulfilled. Now, at first, this might be like, why do I care if prophecies are fulfilled? On its face, I get it. The reason that we are thankful for this, and we should be thankful for this, is Jesus' birth met every condition prophesied through Scripture. If we go back to this very first slide, if this works, everything in green here, these were prophecies all over the place in the Bible. Not just the various places in the Old Testament, not just one prophet, but multiple times we see things happening. That there would be a virgin, and she would give birth to a son. It would be in the line of David. It'd be born in the city of David, right? Some cities, all of these things were prophesied. So people that were keeping track, if you had a little scoreboard back in the day waiting for Messiah, there were criteria that needed to be met. Things that were going to get tougher and tougher and tougher, especially as the line of David grew longer and longer and longer. What if we lose ground? How can we prove it? Is it going to be tough? Could it be a misstep? How could God fulfill this? We don't even keep track of good records. We've been routed a few times and taken into, you know, there's some nuisances here. But Jesus fulfilled everything. Why that's good for us is because it's not just an arbitrary person that was picked. This means Jesus wasn't just a great guy that appeared and had some wise teachings and loved God more than anyone had ever loved God. Jesus was God, just as described. He lived a perfect life. And when we see that this began, this plan, this arc that leads to Christ's coming, to Christ's birth, began before Mary and Joseph were even a thing. We're talking thousands of years in the bath with prophecies, and it just goes and goes and goes. That means God wants us to see this was the plan and not plan B. Christ's birth was not a reaction to things getting so out of hand that God had to do something. It was always to be this way. The passage that Leah shared about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus has been here since the beginning. The Word has been here since the beginning. It was all part of a plan. Virgin birth, check. Bethlehem, check. A son, check. David's line, check. Everything is met. And when people come to us like, hey, I'm not saying Jesus is bad, I'm just not saying he's God. Like, let's dig in together. Let's look at what things had to come together for this to happen, how difficult it would have been to just have this happen by chance. Now, does God need to justify any of this to us? No, but he chose to. That's why we should be thankful. When we have the full corpus of all of the Word of God, and we can look at all this and put it all together, and when people are in a place of doubt and like, I feel great at Christmas, but I just don't know about this, and it's so hard to believe. Absolutely, it's hard to believe. When it comes to things like belief, we get two options, just like the shepherds got. Believe it and go, or doubt it and don't. Christ did all of this. God had all these overtures for our well-being, for our good. So if you wonder why we get together and we study the Word and we go over this, why are we doing Luke 2 again? We just did this. It's not the same sermon, but it's because we only have one Bible. There's only so many words in it, but we're going to study them over and over and over and over, because every time we do it, good things happen. Prophecies fulfilled, be thankful. Next, be thankful for unconditional good news. A good example of conditional good news is something like, you have won a vacation. Many of you probably have gotten this letter. You've won a 3-night vacation in the Florida Keys. And you're like, oh yeah? And you open it up, and what are you thinking? What do I have to do? You just have to come and listen to a seminar about timeshares. That is not unconditional good news. That's conditional good news. You get a trip, but you have to come and sit down, right? You get a new crock pot, but you have to fill out a survey. You can come to Thanksgiving dinner, but you have to wear long pants, right? Things like this. It's not good news. It's condition, not unconditional good news. It's conditional good news. To reiterate here, shepherds are not good witnesses per se. If you're going to bring good news for all the people, why would you bring it to the shepherds? They are proclaiming and they are ecstatic and they have to know that people will doubt them. But they are told this good news is for everyone and they are the proof. If I have great news for everybody and I go to the President of the United States to share that news, others will immediately think, well, it must not be for everybody. Was this trickle-down good news? I thought it was for everybody, but you're starting at the top. Of course you are. In this case, we see these guys starting at the bottom. And this is good news for us as well because it requires no worldly pedigree for salvation. What the angels are demonstrating here is there's nothing on this earth that's going to qualify you for the good news of the gospel. In many regards, coming to the lowest of the low is where the angels appear with really great news and a challenge to go see and witness this good news firsthand. These shepherds got to do something that nobody else in history has gotten to do, nor will ever get to do again. When we all get to heaven, there's going to be a few people there that saw Jesus in the manger. I mean, the last are being made first. I'd like to speak with them. What was it like? What were you thinking? Like, well, I was out of my mind. You know, oh, it's so awesome that you actually got to see Jesus immediately after he was born. The Lord of Lords, God among men, the Son of Man, the Lion of David, the Prince of Peace. You got to see him as a baby because the angels appeared to you, gave you this good news, and then you followed through. The good news was not based on a condition for them. They did not earn it. And moreover, there was nothing that they could have done to rationalize that news even better. The good news is made good by the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Rather, the good news is made better by that. And in this case, what we see is their willingness and their belief and their desire to proclaim and share all this, something changed in them. It wasn't because they met the criteria. It wasn't because you've checked all the boxes. You now get to go visit Jesus. Thank you. We've checked your ID. You've got your passport. You filled out your forms. It's done in triplicate. This is wonderful. Please come on in. Here he is in the manger. Oh, good. Oh, you've got your paperwork. You're shut out. In this case, it goes to bums, to nobodies. It's societal outcasts. And they are invited to come and witness an infant baby who is going to change everything for all times. Thankful for unconditional good news. Third, be thankful for a God that takes care of everything. On its face, the story appears to be a series of bad being made worse, right? It's a virgin that's pregnant. Called home for a census. Well, it's okay, I haven't seen my family in a minute. Well, but everybody's here. We don't have any place to stay. Well, that's okay. Let's just find us a place. We'll sleep in here tonight and I'll figure out, oh, you're going into labor? Oh, well, that's good. But this town's probably huge and shut down. Everyone's visiting with family. I don't know if you ever tried to, our dog seems to get injured like on weekends and holidays. And trying to go to an emergency vet or anything like that's exceptionally difficult because nobody wants to do any of that stuff. So it's like a 6 or 8 hour wait. This is probably a lot of how these cities were. Everything's just kind of backed up because everything's so busy. And now we're here with a baby, like what else? But we see that all these things are part of a grand narrative. All these setbacks, all these interesting, if you will, or maybe seemingly unoptimal, non-optimal choices or orchestrations, all paint this picture of taking the what we might think to be the best, what we might think to be the easiest or smartest away. Putting us in a place where everything about Christ's birth, everything, even those who came to herald it, were shepherds. Born in a manger to a mother who is a virgin but not married, right? I mean, the visuals, the optics from the outside are like, this family is a mess. That kid is doomed. He's going to have a tough time. They don't have their act together. Jesus' birth was miraculous in nature, no question, but lowly in stature. There is nothing grandiose about this. We see God taking care of everything, and it's God. And he could have had Jesus born on a floating golden blimp and then lowered down in a parachute made of silk and been like, well, this got to be the Savior. Look at him. Look at how he's coming. Incredible. Like a cherubim, you know, and you see all those like little floating fat baby angels, and they got the, that's how Christ could have come down. Oh, here he comes. I'm baby Jesus, and he must be, and that's my son. Don't touch him. God could have done, he did none of this. It was all mediocre at best. Everything about it mediocre at best. And because of that, we see Jesus depends on the Father from the start. Even before he was born, his dependence on God for all provision is evident. He's got no gifts coming in. He's got no largesse from a wealthy family that can help. Well, you know, even if Jesus was born in a manger, his family's got myriad funds and power, and they're politically, none of this. Poor people, pregnant, unmarried, traveling in a barn next to the animals or nearby, born in a manger. Doubts, is this true? Is it real? The angel said it was going to be amazing. I guess when Jesus, I don't know. The whole thing's a mess. Oh, here comes some people. We heard there is a baby born. Oh, maybe it's true. And you are shepherds. Oh, well, no one. Okay. But Mary treasured this stuff up in her heart because all of this is evidence that God, everything he said would happen has happened. All the care that was needed, is she alive? Yes. Is the baby alive? Yes. I remember we did a demonstration before Emma was born. We had one of those birthing classes. They had a bunch of post-it notes with all these different things. Epidural, natural birth, music playing, cold ice water, cups of ice, all these options. And they're like, put these in order of your perfect birth plan. And so we ordered all these things up. And they're like, now take one away, and take one away, and take one away, and take one away. And by the end of this, there's one left. And everybody had the same one, and it was healthy baby. And that was a reminder that, like, all these other things, all your plans might get blown out of the water. Now, as a believer, I look at a moment like this, and I think, here we are all these thousands of years later, not in a church setting, it's just at a hospital, but the same kind of notion is being communicated. At some point, who cares what you really wanted? What you really need, what you really want, if you get to the bottom of this, is a healthy baby. And you're probably willing to do whatever that takes, right? This is probably where Mary was as well. Put me in the barn. Let's go over here. I just need the baby to be born. This baby is important. And if God is who he says he is, then he knows we're in this outside of the inn. He knows we're laying in the hay. He knows they're going to put him in a manger. He knows we're here. He knows I'm exhausted. He knows we had to ride in on this donkey and your family doesn't even want to have to talk to you. And that. He knows all this. So let's not worry about that. Let's just trust that God's going to take care of us, even if it doesn't seem like it's squared away. And let's be thankful that God takes care of everything. I would say we could argue with Mary's thankfulness, except that it says she treasured up all these things, pondering them in their hearts and in her heart. The word treasure is very important there. It doesn't say Mary begrudgingly remembered all this crap. It says she treasured up all these things. All these things, treasured them. Shepherds, oh, it's beautiful. It's one. We're gonna start at the bottom. This baby has nothing going for it except God the Father. Well, let me tell you. If all you've got is God, you've got more than you need. Mary gets it. Joseph gets it. The shepherds get it. And pretty soon, a lot more people, including us, are going to get it. That leads us to our fourth point. Be thankful for a Savior that is unmatched. There is nobody that will match Jesus for saving power. There's a whole bunch of people that are going to talk a bunch of nonsense about, well, you can do okay on your own. You just need to meditate. And you're going to fast. And you're going to exercise. You're going to eat better. And all these things will save you. They will not. I'm not saying don't do them. I'm not saying let's not do things in this world that are helpful. I encourage people to eat right, go take care of your health, exercise, do the needful, pay your taxes, work hard, do all these things in this world. But just know, none of that is going to save us for eternity. That is exactly and only where Jesus Christ is capable. His birth, humble, lowly, and his sinless life, that is no sin committed, paved the only way for us to be saved. He fulfilled the law of the Old Testament that had existed specifically to point out sin and made it more and more evident how far we had fallen away from a holy God. It's not about feeling good or happy. It's okay. Once again, it's okay to feel good, and it's okay to be happy. 100%. I encourage more of that, actually. But it is about eternity in God's presence. To look at the situation in which Jesus came to this earth, I can imagine Joseph not being very happy. Maybe Mary was able to treasure some of the stuff in her heart. You'll notice it's curiously quiet about what Joseph was thinking. He was probably a little bit more upset with his family. Having to have a baby, yeah, I know God will take care of it, but this is absurd. You're pregnant. You ever been on a bus or something and there's like a 20-year-old kid sitting down and an older lady standing up and you want to go over there and help him out of that seat, maybe down to the floor and then have her, because like, what, do you not know? That's probably what Joseph's thinking. Are you kidding me? We got old man Joe. No, but let him stay in the room. I'll take my pregnant wife who's in labor down to the bar. No, don't get up. My family, I knew we shouldn't have come back. Should have just ignored you. I can hear him saying all this, and Mary like, it's fine, it's going to be fine. Well, you know, believe me, oh, it's getting, how far are the contractions? I don't know how they would have done this back in those days, right? But oh my gosh, apparently it's going to happen. Well, I'd ask my family for help, but they'll probably bring down, you know, who knows? Because I don't want to interrupt dinner with our birth. He was probably not very happy because of the situation. And as a protector, plus she's pregnant, and everyone's going to think that, you know, she's sleeping around or that they couldn't wait. And I got all these things maybe going around his head, trying to be a better leader in this family. But lo and behold, after it all comes to pass, we see that these things begin to fade away. Just like in the story of Luke, the next thing that we see is when it came time for their purification, they brought him to Jerusalem. He's being presented at the temple. It's like back to business. It seems like a huge deal. It seems like this is going to be the end of us. But Joseph knows, and he clings to this faith. And Mary demonstrates it more so even than Joseph here, at least in word, by seeing that she's treasuring up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She may not be happy, quote unquote. It may not be good, quote unquote. But she is being made happy by the fact that God is good. And if you can believe that and trust that and remember that in the midst of whatever's going on in the world, you're going to find yourself in a place where it's okay. This too shall pass. You ever notice in life when something bad happens, we say, hey, this too shall pass? But if somebody like, hey, I just got a great year at work and got a bonus, and won a trip, we never say, well, this too shall pass. Why? Well, because we want to be a downer. I hit the lottery. Well, this too shall pass. You know, you'd be broke in a year, statistically. Well, thanks, you know. Well, can't you be happy for me? Why would I be? I mean, you know, I'm just even keeled. There's no good nor bad, only eternity in Christ. That's a great way to have people say, okay, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. But in this case, when things are bad, this is a time when you're going to see these kinds of memories. Hey, things are tough, but just know, Mary doesn't need this reminder. It's going on in her heart. The Holy Spirit's comforting her. She knows the story. She knows how this is going to go. She understands that what's at stake and knows that God's part of this and knows that this baby is going to do something that she probably can't even fully comprehend. And that is that Jesus didn't come to make bad people good, but he came to make dead people alive. It's not my quote. Other people have said this before. There's a big difference there. Will he make bad people good? Yes. The more you know about what God's plan for your life is, the closer you want to walk with him, the easier it becomes to start to understand your sin and rely on the Holy Spirit to pluck that and prune that away from you. And you'll find that bad people become good as they are made alive in Christ. The reason we're talking about all this today is because Christ is still alive. He died on a cross, but 3 days later is resurrected and still lives, sits at the right hand of the Father, intercedes for us all the time. He's praying for me right now. That's not a joke. That's not a hyperbole. It's not a nice thought that I rely on. Like, I don't know if it's true, but maybe it is the truth. It is in Scripture. So what about us? Christmas is a great time to think about the gifts God has given us. There's no question about that. I look at this family, it makes my heart smile. Our church family, I just love it. So thankful for all y'all doing this journey together. Excited to see what God's going to do with our church in this community over time. But we're most thankful for the ultimate gift of his son given to save. Christ didn't come down here just to teach. He did teach. He didn't come down here just to be a carpenter. He was a carpenter, right? But he came here to save, and he accomplished that goal. Now, spoiler alert, I love Christmas time and all it brings. I love Christmas music. I like decorations and trees. I like cold weather. I like all this stuff. The worldliness of Christmas, I enjoy. It warms my heart. I've been enjoying this since I'm a kid. All these fond memories of songs and snacks and the treats my grandparents made and those sorts of things. Like, we could go on and on and on and on and on. I treasure this time of year. But it must be more than warm memories and happy times. And it is. Because there's going to be new warm memories and new happy times being made. I trust in that. There's also going to be some cold memories and some unhappy times. But that's why it needs to be more than just warm memories. It's got to be something bigger. Jesus is the reason for this time of year. If only there was a word that would have rhymed. Oh, well. It may seem trite, but we celebrate the advent of God in the flesh. We all know this, or, well, everyone wants to say it's about Jesus. Jesus? Who's it about? Jesus, right? Okay, well, you know, why is it about Jesus? Well, he was born here. Okay, why? Well, I don't know. Church, let's have an answer to that. Let's set up trees, let's give gifts, and let's visit family, etc. Do all that. I don't have any problem with that. I know there's a few people come up here and bang on Paul, but they say, that's a... I did research on the trees, an ancient pagan symbol from this, that, the other. Oh, hooey to all of it. I don't put my tree up because of a pagan to whatever. I put it up because I enjoy the Christmas tree. We have little scent sticks in there. It smells like pine trees. Reminds me of Christmas time. Lo and behold, it's Christmas time. You want to give somebody a gift for Christmas? Do it. But if they say, wow, Christmas really is about gifts, isn't it? Don't say, yes, that's true. Say, no, it's about Jesus. It's about what he did in the grand scheme of things. And for me, it's about eternity, starting with a baby in a manger, and that's crazy. And they're going to say, why is that crazy? And if you don't know what to talk about, take them to Facebook and let them listen to me rant about how crazy all this is. It's nuts that he did any of this. God should have incinerated the world and was right to do it, but he chose not to, because it glorifies him to have a plan from the beginning that man will fall and we will screw it up, and that Jesus will come as a baby, completely thwarting the world and everything it could do, good, bad, or otherwise, living, being killed by the people who he came to save, who claimed to love him, resurrecting, and through that ushering in eternity for those who believe. It's crazy. It's crazy. Let's not forget to share this good news just like the shepherds did. Well, I'm not trustworthy. People won't believe me. I'm not that smart. I'm not that good. I'm not that talented. Are you drunk that works in a field at night watching animals? If so, you're qualified to witness Christ in the manger. It's right here in the Word. It's not me. You don't need to be any better than this. I don't mean to naysay too much on the shepherds here, right? But the reality is, this was the world the shepherds were in. It's no coincidence that he appeared to shepherds. We need not worry that nobody would believe us. God will take care of that. If it requires amazing oration skills or an intellect that's sharp as a knife to win people to Christ through clever argumentation and striking debate, then he would have appeared to somebody who was a genius and said, I need you to head into town because there's going to be a lot of naysayers. You're going to need to verbally and intellectually jujitsu these guys to convince them that this is all real. But instead, he appears to shepherds with angels, scares the pants off of them, and says, there's a baby born. It's good news for everybody. Manger, star, hit it. Okay, well, off we go. It's just like they said. I can't believe it. It's true. Incredible. It's not about us. It's not about the argument. It's not about the shepherds. It's not about Mary or Joseph. It's about that baby. Came to earth as God ordained it to do something that only he could do. And the Holy Spirit will make those who he has chosen to believe, believe it. But we have an awesome opportunity to share it. That's it. If you think your job's to share it and then coax belief, change that up. Just share it. And then after that, share it again. And share it again. And as you do that, your life will change. And people will see you saying something and having an impact on you. And pretty soon when you say Jesus is the reason for the season, these sorts of things, it's going to mean something to those that know you. Because they're going to know that's where your priorities are. You're not walking around heavy-handed. You're not trying to correct people. You're not trying to make bad people good. Your desire should be to make dead people alive. And that's the work of Jesus. And the only way they're going to believe in that work is through the Holy Spirit. So call to action. If you don't know Jesus, reach out to him and us. We'd love to talk to you. If this is foreign to you and you're like, this all sounds great and I want some of that warmth and I want some of this eternity, but I don't even know where to start. Maybe someone's misinterpreted to you what the Bible says. Maybe you see Jesus as something different. We can fix that. If you know Jesus today, throughout this Christmas, just be thankful for all he has done. If you want to be thankful for all that he has done, both good and bad, even better. But those are the sorts of things that that take time, take the Holy Spirit, take patience to get through, being thankful for everything God has done. If you're looking for a church home, welcome home. We'd love to have you. We're every Sunday. We meet at Starbucks on Wednesdays. The doors are generally open and unlocked if we're here. Come on in. We'd love to talk and pray with you. But lastly, if you're dreading this time of year, if when you see Christmas, it feels like darkness because it's isolation and loneliness, and you've been hurt and injured, and people, you don't have any positive family memories. You don't have any warm or cozy times. It's all dark and pain. Let us pray with and for you. This time of year ought to be something when we see the suffering that Mary went through, but yet we see her treasuring these things up in her heart, something that we want to strive to do. Take the good, take the bad, take the pain and the joy and all this to somehow be thankful for it, to somehow let it have an impact on us and the world around us in a positive way, to be able to say that, yeah, this isn't good, but God is good, and I am thankful for this time of year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I am thankful for this time together. I'm thankful for these words that are so powerful today as they were written all those years ago, Lord. I'm thankful for a Savior who is alive, a Savior who is active, a Savior who is not an idea or a comforting notion or something sweet to remember once a year, Lord, but a living, breathing, powerful part of God. It's too much to comprehend, Lord. I'm thankful that we are able to gather in this place, celebrate you, especially in this time of year, Lord. I'm thankful for a world that is ready to sing and speak about Jesus, even if they don't fully understand, Lord. And help us to be open-minded and have a smile on our face when we see just an opportunity to share how big Jesus is to us and what he can do for others. Why we're so happy to share him, why we're not angry when we don't get to see things a certain way, but we're happy for every opportunity we get. We're thankful. Lord, if nothing else, help us to be thankful for when we read this story to see how you came to this earth, how you eventually did grow up and you suffered and you died to save all of the elect, everybody that you have chosen since the beginning of time to be saved. But yet you've given us a crucial part to share this news with the world as we move our way through it, just like you did when you were here. You didn't share the good news with everybody, but you shared the good news with those whom you stood in front of. Lord, you ask nothing more of us. Thank you again for this time together. In your sons, I pray. Amen.